Welcome to the Have Company podcast, a podcast that bridges the gap between artists and their community. I'm grateful to share conversations with Have Company artists and residents, friends, and a little bit of my own thoughts on creating work and finding balance. Welcome to the Have Company podcast. This is Marley. I'm sitting here with Courtney Knight.
Hi, podcast.
Hi, hi, podcast.
Hi, podcast.
We're just eating some brekkie over here, and you might hear a little sip of that morning coffee. We've been definitely doing some sleeping in this week.
Oh, yeah.
Real gentle on the body, but we woke up at 8:30 today. Well, Courtney woke me up. You woke up at like 7:30.
No, it felt good to wake you up.
Felt good to wake me up. Thanks, Mom.
It's like, good morning.
So, Courtney has been, we've been doing this little residency in the house time, which has been a blast.
I'm obsessed with homes.
So. Courtney is literally obsessed with homes. I have a picture of a house that Courtney drew tattooed on my body.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Did you hear that? Yeah. If you guys just heard that noise, that was Yoko Ono, the cat, just... She doesn't, she's just saying, hey. Anyways, Courtney is an illustrator based out of Portland.
Yes, Portland, Oregon.
Oregon, not Maine. Mm-hmm. And yeah, why don't you, what's your elevator pitch? We'll have to put explicit on this. I'm just kidding.
I guess I'm an illustrator, a maker. Mm-hmm. I don't know what else more to say.
That's great. That's what you are. You're right. I took it already. I'm sorry. I stole it.
It's okay.
So you're living in Portland. You recently moved there.
Yeah. About 7 months ago.
Did you move there?
My friends, so I went to school in Boston.
Okay. Art school.
Yes.
You went to art school. The people want to know.
Guys, I went to art school.
The people want to know.
Not just regular school.
Art school.
Very important. And some of my favorite people, Clark and Kristen, they called me up and they're like, we're moving across country. We're taking this long road trip. Do you want to meet us in Portland and live with us? And I was like, yes. At the time I was living.
You were invited.
Yeah, I was invited.
Cool. Yeah, that's great.
Oh,
nice.
That's
yeah.
perfect.
That's beautiful.
We were just talking about
how
I need to be invited to things.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yep. Yeah, at the time I was living in my hometown, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, and for a moment after school, and I was living alone in a little apartment, and then they called me up, and I was like, yes. I didn't know what I wanted from Portland, but I knew it was, like, okay to go.
Yeah.
So that's what started that journey, and as soon as I landed in Portland, I met people... From Instagram, actually, that I've been following for years, and we clicked, and we met at a yard sale. They had a yard sale going on,
Beautiful.
And I got a job from it, a group of friends at a studio space just from a yard sale. So it was, like, very affirming that I was supposed to be there.
Did you get anything at the yard sale?
Other
than, like, a new way of life.
I think I got a wooden crate to carry things.
Oh, wow.
And that, I think, oh my god, that's a metaphor for something, huh?
Yeah, that has gotta be for something. Oh my gosh, that's funny.
Yeah.
Awesome. And so, yeah, what is your history of illustrating? Where did that start for you? Have you always been drawing? Did you take a class?
I've always been drawing.
Yeah.
There's no real start or stop.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel guilty when I'm not drawing, like, consistently.
And do you draw every day?
Yeah, but I'm like, why am I not drawing now? Like, right now.
Right, like, you should be drawing right now.
Yeah.
You love to draw.
I do. It's, yeah, I do. I do, right? Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
I'd
And you draw both for, you know, and I think this is the constant navigation that keeps coming up in these conversations is this, what is my job? What is my fine art practice?
Mm-hmm.
What is my meditation practice? And
yeah,
if drawing is all of those things, how do you keep them separate slash still find enjoyment in the process of illustrating if you're like,
yeah,
get a job. Because you do freelance illustration for other people.
Yeah, that's what I'm working on right now is part-time freelance.
Mm-hmm.
And then part-time my personal work.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also have a full-time job at a leather company.
It's a full-time job?
Yeah, full-time.
Wow.
And
what, and tell us about, what's that job? And you love that job.
I love that job.
That's awesome.
It's Tanner Goods.
Uh-huh.
I'm in the workshop in Portland, Oregon, and right now I'm in the wallets department sewing and putting together leather wallets. And it's a blast. Like, the people are amazing. They've all connected me to so many other people and projects, and I'm completely inspired.
Awesome.
Yeah, and I know I need something separate from myself to stay sane and also be social. So that's like my version of that.
Yeah, you know, I think that's the continuous thing that keeps coming up for myself as I look at my own work and other folks is like this, you know, the day job. It doesn't have to be the goal of like, no day job, you know, and a lot of times that kind of work provides a lot of other luxuries, like financial stability, friends, you know, I think friends is what I miss. You know, we walked over to Marie's, went to Marie Katrieb's today where I used to work. And I think, you know, I walk in there and still,
and
you know, so
everybody.
Many of my friends are there. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's part of what was so
nice about
coming here. And I feel lucky at this point. I have company to have, you know, friends who work there for me and with me.
Yeah,
but,
you have a community.
But that still offers the intensity of like, I am their boss.
It forces you.
You know, there's more of a, it's not outside of myself.
Yeah. I've been continuously, like, people in my life keep saying, when are you going to do this full time? And it's like, I don't know if I want
to.
Yeah. It kind of sounds like lonely, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the right word. It just doesn't sit well with me right now, which then I feel guilty saying that because it's like, oh, didn't I go to school for this? Am I an illustrator? Am I not supposed to want only that? But I think I'm interested in so many different things that I can't imagine settling down to one thing.
So I want to talk about your workshop. And I felt really inspired by it. And I, of course, sat down with this. Well, it was at the same time as knit night, so I also was, like, half knitting, but,
which was nice, though.
Yeah, it was nice. But
I... You said you weren't gonna draw.
I technically don't think I did. I made some shapes. Okay, there were some shapes.
I think lettering is a form of drawing.
Okay.
You did some lettering with repetition over and over. It's very meditative.
Right. I think, I did do that. That was meditative.
Okay.
I wrote, and for those listening, I wrote the sentence, "The phone is not a friend." Over
as we're speaking and to the phone.
Over, as we're leaning into the phone, it's not a friend. It is a friend right now, because it's on airplane mode. That's when the phone is a friend.
Oh, yeah. It's nothing right now.
I just wrote it down again. But, yeah, I definitely, you know, I've been kind of a quick learner my whole life. A lot of times I'll, like, take a class or do something or learn a new skill, and I can usually half-ass it pretty good. You know what I mean?
Like,
I can make it look like I kind of know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
But drawing, illustrating is, like, there, I'm missing the link between the brain cell and the hand to, like, get it to do the thing that I can, like, see in my head. It just,
you can't have it all, Marley.
I can't have it all.
You do everything else.
Have it all.
That's okay.
But I'm saying, I can't have it all. It's true.
But I could see you in the workshop being like, I don't want to show anybody. Because
you have
this feeling of wanting to be.
Yeah.
And I was like trying to encourage just like everyone to, like, because clearly there was a handful of people there and I could tell that maybe they weren't comfortable sharing. But I was like, please, I want to see everyone's memories and moments.
Yeah.
And maybe they weren't comfortable with that.
And your workshop was
on keepings and memory
and the kind of archiving almost of that. And doing that as a kind of a journaling practice. Mm-hmm. And I think using the word journaling helped me to kind of not be as intimidated about the like illustrating, drawing part of it. You know, we did word mapping and then just added shapes and then, you know, you could draw if you wanted to.
I'm kind of obsessed with like words. I think mostly it's a word thing.
Yeah. And that's how you...
Yeah.
Why don't you just tell us a little bit about your process of, like, mind mapping, I think, was...
Okay, yeah. There was, well, there's lists, first of all, which I'm a list person. That's how I calm my brain. It's how I remember anything. And so I have scraps and lists everywhere. And then it turns into this word mind map where... I'm at loss with a visual, so I pick a word, and I'm like, okay, let's explore this word, and I obsess over it. So I have that in the center, and then spiderwebbing off of it with these threads are other words that are connected to that word. And from there, there's this giant web of connection, and I can pull a series from all these words. So it kind of... It sparks more work from this web. And then there's the visual mind map, which is more so mapping out what's going on in your head.
Sure.
And that was fun to see everybody's.
Yeah.
It's more, it like, it can look like a map, but it's fictitious. It's self-reflection. You're focusing on what's taking up your headspace and you're writing it down. And I think that's really important to realize where you're spending your time. Not just like outside of your body, but inside your body. And so that was fun to explore.
I liked this. There, I've heard this said by a person before, that anything that you obsess over, you are putting in front of... like God or like your higher power or the universe or, you know, whatever you're like spirit, you're like basically turning that thing into your higher power. Cause it's what you're thinking about all the time. Yeah. Like obsession as a non-healthy kind of like addict. Like I'm just going to obsess over this person or this thing or this situation. Yeah. It basically means that you're replacing like your spiritual self or higher self with the obsession.
That's interesting.
And I think that's what I liked so much about the word mapping is it.
Yeah.
I would kept just relief. I kept having more space.
Yeah.
To connect to myself or my spiritual self by.
Oh, wow.
Getting out of that obsession.
That's a great way to.
Because you have to like act your way out of it.
Yeah.
You can't think your way out. At least I can't. Like when I become totally obsessed with whatever, I can't, if I try to think, I made little quotes, like think my way out of it, then I'm just screwed.
Maybe that's why I do it, because my mind is just like turning. Yeah. Like some days I'm at work and I'm like buffing the edges of the leather and I have the same sentence over and over in my head.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Courtney, like stop saying this sentence over and over and it won't stop. And I wish I could just for a second just write it down. And then... hopefully I write it down later, but sometimes it's forgotten. And that's why, like, so I have a horrible memory, like horrible, horrible. And I don't know how to stop that. And it feels horrible knowing that I've lost something that I don't even know what I lost. You know, I'm like, I know I've forgotten something and it will never come back, which is why I'm obsessed with writing things down. And I love poetry and I love wordplay, and sometimes I write stuff down and it's vague and hopefully I know what that means later when I've forgotten that memory.
Yeah.
But I write it down vague because I think we talked about this. I'm not that open of a person.
Right.
And it's hard to be vulnerable.
Secret Scorpio over here.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm a Scorpio. It's hard to be vulnerable even to myself. which I'm realizing just now.
Yo, that's real.
It's so real.
I think sometimes for me, it's hardest to be vulnerable to myself.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so, and that's a little Gemini-y Virgo rising situation. Yeah. It's like,
you're so many people.
I'm like a couple different people. I'm going to appear like I totally have my shit together. And then, you know, I just like spew, pew, pew, pew. You know, it's like just bearing it all on the podcast, bearing it all on the internet, you know, like here I am, but God forbid I'd be alone for 4 minutes in silence, you know, like,
That's real.
That
yeah. As soon as Marley picked me up from the airport, like, I'm like, hi, good to see you in person. How are you? And
I was like, let me tell hold you on this a second.
And then tells me, everything moment by moment in the last 2 weeks. And I love that. I consider myself the vault. Like, I love to, like, listen to people's shit, but sometimes I can't give it back, which is a thing in itself.
Yeah, well, you had some breakthroughs this week,
though. Oh, my God.
I have been broken open. Broken open,
and it's weird.
So, Erica is the other resident right now at the shop, and she led just an incredible heart chakra meditation workshop that kind of, like, there was this, I will have to share. Sorry, Brian. He'll have to deal with this. He doesn't listen to the podcast. But we had this heart chakra meditation. Sorry, just doing a little
food
quiche bite here.
Yeah, that was a powerful moment.
Where we were like, there was like six women in Have Company who had all just ripped our heart chakra open.
And we were vulnerable to each other.
And we were really vulnerable to each other.
We had
these intention packets. We'll talk more about this with Erica. Okay. And then our friend Brian walked in.
What was your walk away before Brian came
in? Oh, right. It was to not have to give so much of my heart to other people, to be able to protect it.
Yeah.
To myself.
To not give everything when you don't feel like
exactly.
It.
I don't owe anybody anything.
Yes, that was it.
Brian walked in, it was this moment of like, I was like, oh, I should like say hi and like be present how are you? And it was, but instead it was like this moment where I think we were all kind of just like, we are not giving ourselves.
It was a silent, like, what are you doing in our space?
Yeah, we had really transformed the whole space to kind of this. And that's part of the weird dichotomy. Is that the right word? Dynamic or something of Have Company being this open public space.
Yeah.
But we also had this very, like, sacred workshop that basically no one came into the store while it was happening.
I know.
I think one person walked in and then left.
Yeah, we're like, who is in here? We're meditating.
Yeah, probably a bad business owner on my part. But
there was definitely power in that space.
Yeah, but I just remember that, you know, him being the first person to walk in after we had all kind of like went on this journey together and like cracked open.
We all cried.
Yeah, like, we all shed tears.
And then, looked at him, and I just remember thinking, like, me and Figgy gotta take care of this. And, like, we talked to him, and then Figgy was like, do you want to hang out with us? And he looks around the room, and he's like, nope. He's like, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm not gonna be here. Yeah. And then he's like, he backed out.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
It was just interesting, and I definitely felt that energy.
Yeah, I think there's this, especially when you have... And I think that was what Erica brought up, too, was, like, and the importance of sharing with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved that about your workshop, too, that we shared our keepings with each other and we shared our heart chakra intentions with each other because it felt like we were all really connected and keeping each other accountable, which I think is the power of, like, circles of, like, women's circles or new moon circles or men's circles or non-binary folk circles, like just fucking circles of people.
I think accountability is what
forces
people to be
open.
I mean,
honestly. I think that's why, you know, for all their flaws, a lot of 12-step recovery programs work. Mm-hmm. That's why fucking church works for people. You know what I mean? It's real. It's
a
like
ritual.
Any
yeah.
gathering or communing of other folks for like some... common
goal,
or
we're all in a room, and it's like, what are we going to talk about? Okay, I guess we're going to talk about our deepest, darkest feelings right now. I guess
we're about to do that in like a half hour again.
Oh, yeah, we have another workshop.
We're going to go do some more. We're going to sacral chakra open with Erica.
But Erica fucking, I keep thanking her because she, okay, she brought us into this meditation and talked about our guides.
Yeah.
And our guide's giving us a gift. And as soon as I open the gift in my meditation, which it was just a blank piece of paper, but the gift was a feeling. And I started silently weeping, which I hadn't cried.
In like a year.
In a year.
Right.
And I was just like, what is this coming out of my face?
What
like,
are these? What are these saltwater
I know. Oceans? And I was like, and it's been like a joke around my group of friends, like, oh, like, what can you do to make Courtney cry? Like, come on, she needs to. And I'm like, yes, please make me feel something. Because I've been, I think I just, like, been shutting down emotionally. And I know that's not healthy. But she ripped me open. And we were also sipping a lot of cacao.
Yeah.
Cacao.
Cacao.
And I think that helped, too. And I'm so grateful. And now I feel, like, too open. I've been crying a lot at the...
The old Have Company residency will do that to you.
But yeah, you've told me that you allow that in a lot of residencies here.
Yeah.
Which future residents, be prepared.
You're going to cry.
We're all crying here. And I think that's okay because you told me, like, you should change the story of what crying means. Mm, and that was really powerful to me because I need to be more open. Like, I've always been told, I need to be more open, even in friendships, because otherwise, like, you're never going to be close with anyone.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'm okay with that, but I don't know.
Well, I think there's a whole, I mean, I have a, you know, a tattoo of Justin Bieber crying.
Which I love.
On my arm. You know, that's real. And, but part of that is, it's funny. I get it. It's, or it's completely ridiculous.
I love that you showed me the other day. You're like, this is real. Yeah.
But it's like, I've always been so interested in like dismantling the shame of crying or of like dudes crying or whoever crying. Like if you're a girl, if you're a boy, if you have gender neutral pronouns, like I don't care what you identify as, you should be able to feel okay crying. That's why I get real sensitive when the whole like there's all the male tears memes that are like, oh, like when dudes cry.
I don't know the internet.
I don't even know it enough either. But it always pisses me off because I'm like, I don't ever want to make a joke about crying. Like, I don't, I think crying is...
because you allow it.
Powerful and fine and I cry all the time and I don't, I think, and I'm...
which is why I needed to be with you across the room. Yeah. Like, there's definitely, you definitely changed, you just dropped some broccoli.
I just catapulted a piece of broccoli.
I'm like, you changed my life. You're just dropping broccoli in her lap.
You really changed my life as I.
This is a moment.
This is a true Marley. Oh,
that was
intimate
so
moment.
I'm writing that down later. Go ahead. I think that's important.
You're welcome. I'm glad I changed your life.
Thank you.
But the thing about crying too, what? I don't remember.
I'm just saying.
I just love it so much. You keep going.
I don't know. I'm just so grateful for, like, if not anything else, like, for that. For, like, thank you for allowing me to, like, be open.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm a Scorpio. I can't.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's hard even talking about it right now. But,
Well, I think that's what I'm learning about myself, which feels kind of weird or like I have to take more ownership of it, but I have this mentor who's kind of been pushing me to that, like, part of my thing on earth is like to give people permission.
Yeah.
And I, you know, that doesn't even have to be with words. I think it is just the space or just me in my actions, like gives people permission. Like they see me crying when I'm really stoked or when I'm like really sad or when I just feel stuff, hear my favorite song. Like, you know, and it's kind of that permission through just my actions of like, see, you guys can cry if you want.
I love that. You give permission and I need to be invited. Like, which I would think I liked our pair because I feel like, I don't know, it was a nice pairing.
Yeah. I want to go back to kind of your journaling, your personal practice of journaling and note keeping and mark making and, because even though it sounds like it just kind of comes natural to you, maybe what are some, whether that's like always keeping a journal with you or always keeping your pens with you or like, what are some real action steps for you that keep you accountable to like drawing every day?
I always have my sketchbook.
You got a favorite kind or a brand or anything?
I do, and it feels weird saying it. A Moleskin.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, black Moleskin.
Classic.
Yeah, classic, typical.
Blank pages.
Yes, blank, typical. Yeah. Blank pages.
Yep.
It's black, and it's a portrait, you know. I think it's like 8.5, you know.
You got to do that hardcover, you do a little bendy cover. Hardcover,
it has to be hardcover because
gotta keep that forever.
Yeah, I carry it with me everywhere. Right. I used to have the folded ones, and they just get destroyed. But I was looking through some of my, like, foldy ones, and I had some good shit in there, and I think it's because I knew this was, like, a piece of shit notebook, and that's when gold comes out, you know, in school.
Interesting. It felt less pressure, almost. Like, just throw this in here.
In school, like, all our tables were covered in craft paper, and we would doodle while we were being, like, taught a lesson, and that's when you had gold, and then you'd end up, all over the table, there would be holes, because people would cut out with X-Acto knives.
Right.
Their idea they had all sudden on the shitty paper. Right. And so I kind of want to bring that back because I'm treating my hard notebooks too preciously. And then as I'm writing things down, I'm like, oh, someone's going to see this later because I try to do my Instagram posts or like scan for any kind of promotional anything. And then I think that also affects how vulnerable I am or how I journal, which I kind of hate. And I sometimes want to give up, like, the internet altogether or sharing altogether because I think it affects my process.
Oh, 100%.
But at the same time, like, should I embrace it and, like, let that affect my process? Like, what's the you know, I don't want to feel like I'm lying.
Right.
And I feel like knowing, I don't know, sometimes I, like, feel like I'm changing the story to make it look better, which I hate.
Yeah.
But so when I'm out around town and I'm seeing these, like, weird happenings that are happening to me, these weird connections with strangers, I jot it down real quick on scrap paper, wherever, and I make sure I keep that. And sometimes I don't share them all to the public, but it's important to me to keep that moment because I think there's a meaning from each moment. And I have to, like, reflect on that later. And I tell people in my life, like, out loud these stories, but I don't know. I don't know if I put them all in my journal. I think the more I, like, say them out loud, too, the more I remember them.
Yeah.
So not everything has to be written down.
But well, and I think there is this, especially with Instagram, like, image-based social media is, and you kind of pointed this out about my reaction to taking your workshop, where I was like, this isn't going to be good enough to share.
Yeah.
And it's like, hi, why do I have to share everything?
Exactly.
Like, especially because I think I've made it worse for myself by transforming my dance practice into a sharing process. So it's like,
which was interesting to watch you go through because you're like huddled over your phone.
Yeah.
Looking at the best 15 seconds.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
And then you're like deleting things and you're like, my face looks weird. In this.
Right. Exactly. There gets
which
this
is
whole,
so
okay.
Interesting. Hi.
Okay. Okay. I guess Courtney's going to process personal practice with us a little bit here.
Sorry. I love to process.
But it's real. You know? I mean, there's, that is the fucking reality of, this intensity of, what does it look like to have others bear witness? And that's been really intense to have other people staying in my house.
Yeah.
To see this process of like, oh, what time of the day is Marley going to practice? What kind of space does she need around her? Like, what does it look like when she's obsessing over which 15 seconds are the best 15 seconds.
And you have no alone time. Like,
no, correct.
I was feeling guilty about at times, but I mean, you know,
I find alone time in my own ways, but yeah, Marley and her alone time is not a reality most of the time.
More in between time.
Yeah, and that's and that came up with Erica too. You know, is that need for more aloneness when we did our Reiki session.
But then you talked about how you don't really like to be alone.
Right, which I think is part of, and I think for me, the not wanting to be alone comes twofold with, like, that's okay too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it, you know, not shaming myself for, like, I like being around other people. I find a lot of joy in that, but then how do I, you know, I had, like, my first
recharge?
Night alone like a week or two ago in like a month, literally. And it was incredible. And that's sometimes that's all I need is that one time. You know, I get that tonight for the first time in week and a half. Yeah. And I'm looking forward to that. And it's
Well, you said you've been calm this past week.
Yeah, I have been calm.
More calm. Yeah. Which is good.
Yeah. I'm glad. You have calm calm vibes. I would like to hear about, though, as I, you know, sure, I don't shame myself for it, but I, you know, I have, especially I think in the winter, I struggle even more being alone because it's just more intense, because it's cold, because the aloneness I think feels more intense. And I have never really been able to cultivate a consistent meditation practice.
Yeah.
And I think that would be helpful. I know that that would be helpful for me.
Yes.
But
you can't be told that.
I can't be told. I have to think about it. I have to invent it myself.
Yeah, exactly.
But I'd love for you, I know that's been a really big shift for you, which I think is nice, because I think sometimes people who see other people who meditate, they assume that it's always been easy for them.
Right.
Or they just do it. It's just like part of them. But yeah, maybe talk a little bit about this practice of meditating that you've started doing.
Yeah, so even when I was little, like, my aunt would come and visit from Albuquerque, New Mexico, and she's, like, the cool aunt, and she would, like, sit us down, like, when we're 5 years old, me and my brother, and teach us how to meditate. And, you know, my parents were like, oh, this is kind of weird, but, like, it was fun. And we had, like, spirit animals, like, these guides, and that was fun. And then I kind of lost it over the years. I would go in and out of it.
Sure.
And now I just got back into it because I've been in this weird, like, I've just been feeling lost with my practice, with everything. And I've been feeling, like, high anxiety. So I got back into meditating each day for even just 10 minutes. And I've been, like, doing some guided meditations, just, like, finding things online that would help me. And then I have a friend in Portland that I meditate with sometimes. And it's good to have that accountability. Like, we check in with each other and, like, have you meditated? But that 10 minutes a day have, like, changed me.
10
like,
minutes.
10 minutes.
Do you know how short of a time commitment that is, and yet in my head,
it's so large.
I spend 10 minutes throughout the day thinking about how it'd be cool to have 10 minutes to meditate.
I know, it's weird how much we waste time on other things, but, like, I've been told at work, like, oh, something's different about you, you know, like, what's going on? Have you been meditating? And it's like, yeah, actually, I
have been. Yes, actually, I have been
meditating. I'm at peace, like, I've feel amazing, like, I've energized, I just, and, like, I feel okay, whereas before, I would be like, nothing's okay, like, everything's the end of the world, and it's not, in the grand scheme of things.
It's really similar to how I feel.
Okay, hello, 10 minutes a day.
10 minutes.
it's changed my perspective on so much, and it's grounded me, and I want to always do that. And how can I explore, like, more minutes of the day doing that? And how can I get further into, like, different chakras? And that's what I love about taking these workshops with Erica, is, like, she's bringing me to different chakras.
She's opening you up.
Open.
And then you hosted Drink and Draw.
Oh, yeah, that was
Which
funny.
Was so fun. We had these random two boys come over, and that was so fun to have these new friends.
Because it's winter, and everyone's hibernating, and no one wants to show up.
So yeah, what's your... Do you like drawing with other people? I mean, I guess you must if you wanted to host that event, but...
Yeah, I think...
Tell me a little bit about why that was, like, enticing to you to want to have something like that.
I love... drawing or the idea of it too with other people. I also have been working on like trying to be more social and like connecting with your community, which has been like a blast. And so I was like, okay, what's a way that we could all hang out,
right?
But also maybe like do something fun. And my version of fun is forcing everyone to draw together. Yeah. Which I've been doing since I was little.
Yeah. It's time to draw together.
Yeah, I'm like, you get the green gel pen, and you can only draw green things from this. That was a game I played. Like,
oh, wow.
Which is kind of messed up, and shows how controlling I am. Right. But last night was really chill. We only drew for a little bit. I felt like we were all just, like, hanging out. Yeah, and
it
I
was
got
nice.
To, yeah, it was nice and chill. We had some records playing. Like, I met some people that were following me on Instagram, and... I don't know. It's kind of fun meeting people from online. I mean, I'm sure you know that more than I do, but...
Yeah, I basically found find all my friends on
Instagram. I found my friends through Instagram. No, I mean, that's how I got... That's how I got friends and a job in a studio space, like, through Instagram. And that's how I get work, like...
Yeah.
But what I'm noticing is Instagram's, like, kind of slowing down. I don't know if you're noticing that.
I mean, I think it's the...
And then I'm like, well, then what am I going to do without you, Instagram?
I guess I'll have to start figuring out how the hell to use Twitter or something.
Or, like, how to talk
Periscope.
To people
We
got to
get on Periscope. Yeah, Periscope. Oh, God. Yeah, I think there is this blessing and the curse to that strange little app that you can get easily lost in, but that I certainly am really grateful that it gave me... has literally given me... Now I'm about to get teary-eyed. You know, some of the, like,
best,
literally greatest fucking people I've ever met. Like, that I didn't even know people so powerful and great could exist. I had no idea. And that I get to... I think, to me, the important part is that I get to transform it into real-life relationships.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's still easy to get lost in the scroll, you know? It's like, there's...
Deep in the feed, man. Deep in the feed.
So, yeah, I definitely...
I'm glad. Thank you for opening your home last night doing that. Like,
I liked having it. I mean, it's fun. I've had a few that maybe I haven't had that many, but I did have a, Katie Carey did an awesome, like, outdoor ceramics firing workshop here. Cause so we needed the yard.
That sounds magic.
And it was fun to have a workshop in my house. I want to do more workshops in my house.
You should.
Yeah.
And hopefully it's better when the weather's better.
Yeah.
Like, I think everyone was sick last night. Like, we were just so run down and I didn't feel like drawing and I felt guilty telling them, like,
you're like, you draw. But
I'm like, I'm like, but I'm all drawn out. Like, I drew all day, and then I felt guilty saying that, and I keep saying the word guilt, I'm noticing.
Yeah, let's explore that.
Yeah, I'm always exploring that. Yeah. I definitely have, I guilt myself, and that, but guilt is what motivates me. It's my motivator. It's not very healthy right now, but it's what's pushing me to make more, is because I feel horrible.
Well, it's interesting, too, because it's like, how do you... let the guilt guide you, but then release the shame from it. It's like, okay, I feel a little guilty, so maybe I should... Oh, I fucking hate the word should. But maybe I will do this thing, but not feel... like, attach that guilt feeling to it or something.
Yeah, I've been told I need to release the guilt. And then I'm like, well, then what's gonna... I'm like, then what pushes you?
Right.
What,
right.
Oh, you don't have guilt? What pushes you?
Yesterday you were asking that kid, you were like... Do you carry a journal? Don't you just feel guilty all the time for not working?
Well, no, he's...
You're drawing?
He
and I was
said,
like, damn, Courtney.
Well, he's like, I don't write. I was like, I love your handwriting. It's cursive. I was like, no one... he's 22. I'm like, people don't write cursive anymore.
Yeah.
As I'm watching, you're writing cursive. Yeah. And he's like, oh, I never write. I'm like, what do you mean you never write? And he's like, I never have to write. I'm like, you never have to write?
And we're like, where's your list?
I know. It blew my mind that people don't write anymore? Yeah, what does that mean? I didn't know a life without writing. Right. And he's like, well, I'm not a writer. I'm like, but you don't write anything down. Like,
but you are a person.
You're a person.
And you need to write.
If you're a person, don't you write anything down? Right, like, right. I was like, that's how I remember anything. I don't know. It was weird seeing that. And then it kind of took me back. I'm like, oh yeah, people don't have the same practices as I do.
Right. And I think writing is intense. Mm-hmm. Like, it brings up a lot of intense shit
that not everybody's
ready for. I'm not ready for that every day. I try to stay really true to my morning pages practice, mm-hmm. but a lot of times I'm afraid of what's going to come out of my little hand, because this little brain,
little brain
is a messed up most of the time, you know? And the morning pages help me, but it's like I can get in my head, and then I get afraid, and then which fear is what drives me, you know? And
that's,
it's good when I do the stuff that I'm afraid of. That's correct for me. But when I avoid it, it's not good.
That's true. You have to like fucking look at yourself and... Yeah. It's hard to do that.
I was just thinking about anybody who's listening has been just taken on a journey right now.
Oh, yeah.
I should have started with, like, just take a seat, okay?
This is a
get your tea. Get your tea out, okay?
I know. I feel like we keep going. But that's been this whole trip is me and Marley have been, like breaking shit down and, like,
to the deep.
I feel like I'm a counselor to some people. You know, like, I just kind of go, like, well, why do you think you do that?
And, right.
You know, but that's just my nature of, like, talking with people.
Well, and you have a very, I mean, as people heard in the way that you talked about personal practice or talked about that kid journaling, like, you have kind of this interesting, like, non-filter, but that comes from, it's not cocky or ego driven.
Okay.
Which I think is a really nice place to hear feedback from. Like there's no, you don't have any judgment attached to it. You're just like, oh, you do this thing. And I'm like, oh,
I'm like, I've been watching you. It's like, oh, this thing.
Okay. I guess I do that thing. But it doesn't come from you trying to like fix or, correct something. It's just, you're just really observant. And I think that comes from this practice of like writing it all down and mapping it.
I see too much, man. Like I see too much.
You do see a lot.
And it's kind of driving me insane.
Yeah. Well, I'll keep meditating. Okay.
Yeah. There's too much to see. Yeah. Yes. Which is why I'm keeping, I guess.
Yeah.
It's like, what we're getting to right now.
Right, That's the keeping.
Yeah, I've been told actually that I have no filter, but I've been told that in a negative way, and I'm like, actually, like, maybe I'm just showing you what's happening, and you're not aware of what's happening.
Right.
So I don't. Not everyone's ready for that, I guess.
Well, and filters, you know, what are we trying to live on the safe side? That's not what I'm here on earth for, you know what I'm saying? Like, trying to keep it real. Okay, so the last question of every podcast is what are you excited about? So that could be like a book that you're reading or a blog post that you loved or a movie that you were like, this is my favorite movie, or like a thing that's going to happen. Just like when somebody's like, what are you excited about right now?
What am I excited about? I'm excited about, I feel like I'm always excited about the next project mm-hmm. and the next collaborative project. So mm-hmm. I have a lot of collaborative projects coming up with some dear friends, and it's funny that I'm getting excited about working hard and working more, but like I like to run myself to the ground.
Yeah.
That's what I'm excited about, and I feed off of people getting excited about that project with me, and I get excited about other people's projects. So it's just the people that I surround myself with and what projects they're working on is like that directly gets me excited about. So it's not really. I wish I sat down more and, like, read, like, blogs and books, but I feel like lately it's been, like, I'm coming over to a friend's house, and I'm like, what are you working on? Show me everything.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's, like, the people I surround myself with that I'm obsessing with.
Yeah.
So that's how I'm building my community right now.
Cool.
Yeah.
Then you're gonna go back to Portland?
Yeah. It'll be nice. It's weird because it feels like I live here.
But... You do. I actually
yeah.
The airport's closed today. And I can't be alone, so you can just build your bunk upstairs.
It feels, when I walked in here, I was like, it feels like I've lived here. Yeah. So that was, it's been so nice. Cool. Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome. Any last words or thoughts for the listeners of the Have Company podcast?
Just make more. That's all.
Yeah.
Just fucking make more.
Yeah.
That's cool. That's it.
You heard it here first.
Make
more.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.